I think we're on. Good evening, everyone. We are live on Facebook. Happy days. Good evening. My name's David. Who else have we got here with us tonight?
Sarah's here. Hello, everyone.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, and I'm Sean. Hello.
Hi, Sean. Well, very good to have us all. And we think we've got people in the comment stream as well. And we're going to be keeping an eye. I think, Sean.
Ooh. No, I'm on comments. Sean's on prayers. We popped over this week.
Oh, I should have known that, considering that I asked you to do it, didn't I? So, okay. Great. So, Sarah will be keeping an eye on the comments, and if you comment, and Sarah will be chipping in with it, so that we can. So, do join in the conversation. This isn't just us three having a cup of tea and a chat. This is all of us in the evening chatting through what we're looking at. So who have we got so far with us tonight, Sarah?
Well, I've not actually got that we're on Facebook yet.
Oh, I have.
Oh, okay.
Well, I can see that Emily's doing lots of clapping and waving.
It hasn't made its way to Broseley yet.
That's all the way to the other side of Telford. That's a long way to go. And we've got Charlotte there as well. Evening, Charlotte. Oh. Happy day. So if you're online, do say hi. There might be a bit of a lag with the comment stream, but do tell us if you're new, that's where you're from. And tonight we're chatting all about Jesus being the provider as part of the Do You Know Him series. So that's going to be great. We're looking at how Jesus provides for us. So I don't know if you're there yet, Sarah, but we've got Emmy. Emmy is gardening whilst listening. So that's very nice weather for that. Charlotte says hi, Ali says hi, Elizabeth says hi. Great to have you with us, tuning in tonight. Sarah's very puzzled that she can't find it, but never mind. I've got it on my screen in case it I'm sure it'll get to Broseley eventually. Maybe your Wi-Fi is 10 minutes slower than everyone else's.
It better not be. I pay extra for the fast stuff. I'll get there.
We'll get there during the start. And Danny, hi Danny, from hospital.
Oh.
Well, bless you, Danny. If you've got a specific prayer request, please do put it in the comments and we'd love to pray for you. Hopefully this evening is an hour of blessing for you and Alice as well. And so tonight, and lots of other people, tonight is an interactive thing. We're going to share some, Sarah's there, praise God. We're going to have a song. We're going to have, Sean's going to lead us in some prayers later. I'm going to be sharing some thoughts on Jesus the provider. There'll even be some slides with my talk. I'm going to go really small and there are going to be some slides which are really exciting. One kind of caveat about the technology, just as I got it all sorted tonight, my normal laptop that I used, power ran out and I've left the power lead at church, that's where I normally work. So I'm currently running on a slightly older laptop. I'm sure it will be fine. What could go wrong? But do bear with us if the technology isn't great. So tonight we're thinking of Jesus the provider, and what I'd like us to share in the comment stream and us three tonight is maybe the worst or the strangest, let's be gracious, the strangest present you've ever got. In the comment stream, we'd love you to join in. Sarah will read them out. I'll start off maybe while you're thinking. This morning, believe it or not, this morning I got this gift. Well, this box through Amazon came through the post. If Kimberly's watching now, she's having a tea in the other room. If Kimberly's watching, she'll be laughing. So this was addressed to me, and I hate to shout about it, but it's my birthday on Friday.
Happy birthday for Friday, David.
Yeah.
Thank you. Just in case anyone wants to, you know, send me some chocolate or something. You are live on camera. Can everyone see my wife? Pretending to be football. What did you want, Kim? Pardon? It's this box. No, it's the one in the thingy. Look at that. So that was my wife, by the way, everyone, just to show that she is watching. She was having a tea. She'd just come back from being out. But my birthday on Friday, so this came in the post on Amazon, and I thought it might be for me, but Kimberly couldn't really work out who it was from, and so she opened it just to see if there was something inside. This is what was inside. Are you ready?
Yeah. Do we need a drum roll?
Definitely addressed to me. See, David Sims, 11 Rushbury Road, that's me.
Yeah.
Drum roll, please.
Yes.
Hey, I could do with those bird feeders.
Oh, bird feeders.
Three bird feeders. Now, I've been provided with three bird feeders. I don't quite know why. It's legitimate. It's to me. Someone's bought it. It's not on my order. The buyer's name is C, whoever that is. I literally have no idea who sent this to me. I'm not a bird man. I think it was a mistake. I don't know. But the really funny thing is, Helen Homer, which some of you might know, had a similar thing happen today as well, that someone sent her something random that she, and she doesn't know who it's from. It's a book. So what a, you know.
Oh, and was that from C as well? Was that from C?
Pardon?
The book from C.
I don't know. I don't know. But anyways, three birthdays. If it was you, please get in touch and solve the mystery. Anyway, anyone else got any stories of provision?
Yeah, we've got Alice, Catherine Osborne, a diet cookbook and a set of scales.
Yeah, oh, dear.
That's going to be a bit off, isn't it? Oh, and by the way, Charlotte is also a Gemini, David. It's her birthday Friday.
Oh, we're both birthdays on Friday. And Helen's birthday.
Oh, sorry, Tuesday. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, Helen's birthday Friday. Oh, my days. There's lots of people sharing that. So from my point of view, I'm really easy with presents because I'm one of those people that I actually, I'm not going to say I don't like receiving them, but I'm just grateful for anything. I'm the sort of person that gets great pleasure from buying other people. So I thought, well, what's the weirdest present I've ever bought anybody? I was thinking back to when I was very small. I mean, I was early junior school, I was Diddy anyway. And at the very end of our road, which wasn't far away at all, it was probably not much longer than the aisle of the church away, and on my side of the house, road, so I didn't have to cross any roads, there was a good old-fashioned corner shop, you know, so they sold a bit of everything. And I'd saved some pocket money up, and I got it into my head this one day that I was going to buy my mum some flowers, because they'd sell a few flowers and this and that. So I snuck out, you know, it's bad parenting, the notice that's really bad, but we're going back a few years. And I snuck out with my money and I went to the shop, and because it's only a tiny shop and it was in the afternoon, I seem to remember they hadn't got any flowers left. So I thought, well, do you know when you've worked yourself up for doing something? So, well, I'm going to buy her something anyway. I saw something, I thought she'll love that. So I walked in the house and behind my back, you know, really proud, bought you a present. Oh, lovely. Yeah. And I brought forward a tin of peas. That's all I could afford, really. And I couldn't think of anything else. I thought, well, we have peas for dinner. So I bought, I did tell her that it was supposed to be flowers, but they'd run out. So, yeah. So I thought that was naff, really. Well, that really wasn't very good.
It's always good to share the peas.
Oh, of course. Good one.
May the peas be with you, yeah?
Yeah.
Happy days. What about you, Sean? Any good stories of provision?
I had a football injury and I couldn't go to work. And a friend brought round a gift for me and it was a pork pie. But the problem was,
in our lives, so I'm just checking with someone on Facebook, it just came off. It said we're frozen.
Yeah, everything's frozen. I've just seen that.
But I think we're back on now.
Yeah, it says we're now streaming live on Facebook. Yeah,
so I think we're back on. I don't know what that was about. It must be dodgy internet. So hopefully,
Star Trek communicator. Sorry.
Yeah, we're on again now. There we go. Back on. Fantastic.
Back on. There you go.
Thanks, everyone. So a testimony is just a story of God's goodness, really. And so this happened to me today, this lunchtime, as I was thinking about God's provision. So many of you know that I'm off to Aldridge in the summer. And I've got a new job. That's very exciting. But obviously part of that is quite quite worrying. It's a bit scary. It's a bit a big change for lots of us, really. And particularly it's worrying in terms of children. So one of my children is disabled. So this idea of moving house and her getting bigger and needing adaptations is a bit worrying. And I've got a great deal of respect and time and love for the local authority and social workers and all the occupational therapists that work for the local authority. But I do know there's long waiting lists because there's not much funding for them, and waiting lists are big. So something I was a bit worried about was this wait of how long will it take to get the house ready? So we need things like some ramps in, we'll need a wet room, adaptations that are needed for Emily, who's in a wheelchair all the time, she's not mobile. So that's a bit worrying when you think we just now got to the point where an occupational therapist has come to our house we're currently in, but said, I'd love to do all this stuff for you, but you're about to move. And I'll write up the report, but there might be a long wait in Walsall because I don't know how long the waiting list is. So I was a bit worried about that. This morning, I sent an email to one of the church bods about it, high up in the diocese about it. And they sent back an email just saying, yeah, kind of not particularly great, but not particularly bad, just a middle. So that's in my head. I was a bit worried about it. 10 minutes later, I got an email from the church warden at the church that I'm going to, who didn't know I'd had this conversation. And she said, oh, I was chatting to one of our church members who's really excited that you're coming and with your family. She knows it will need some adaptations to the house. She works for Walsall Local Authority in the occupational therapist department for house adaptions for disabled people.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Couldn't write it, could you?
And you know when you just... Good. I don't know if you ever get just the kind of the God goosebumps, but and Kimberly was in the middle of quite an important phone call, but I rushed up. I was like, Kimberly, I've got to show you this. And it's just God all over it, you know?
Yeah.
And why am I surprised that God is the provider? In 10 minutes or so, I'm going to be preaching that God provides. And yet, I get surprised when it, oh, yeah, my goodness. Yeah.
It's that reminder, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just this reminder that this is the right place for us to go. That's good confirmation. But also that God loves us and that God provides. He's a good God. He loves giving us good things. So, yeah, great news.
Yeah, and it looks like we've got providers in the chat as well, because I'm not the only one that prefers to give than receive. So we're all good providers here on Shift Church aren't we? We're all living life.
We are. Happy days. Well, and is there any comments you want to share, Sarah, before we have a song?
Yeah, well, just to say I'm very envious of Charlotte, who's going to the theatre for her birthday.
Very nice.
So Charlotte's going to be provided with some wonderful rejoicing. But no, there's nothing else at the minute.
Great. Okay.
Apart from Charlotte saying God provides when we least expect it, which was exactly the case for you today, David.
I prayed about it, but I was not expecting that. And you could make it up. It couldn't be coincidence, could it?
God incidents, yeah.
Yeah, God incidents, definitely.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. So we're going to sing a song kind of about that. We're going to sing a song called Waymaker, which is one of my favourites. We sung it at church on Friday. A reminder that God is the Waymaker. He's the promise keeper. He's the light in the darkness. That's who he is. And then we're going to go into, from that, I think we're going to have a couple of Bible readings. We're going to have a reading from the Psalms and a reading from one of the Gospels. And then I'm going to share some thoughts and then we're going to chat about it. Sounds good to me. So let's hope and pray. Come on, Lord. I don't need to cross my fingers. We're going to pray. Come on, Lord. Let the technology work well. Let's let it work first time.
Faith, trust.
Pardon?
Trust.
Oh, look.
Yay.
Oh, hopefully you can see things. Can you see things?
Yeah.
Great. Well, I'm going to disappear. We're going to disappear, and hopefully this will work perfectly.
You. miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are the way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you.
Yeah, great song.
What a great song. I don't know what what Barbie was doing popping up halfway through. Did you see that?
Yeah, just briefly. Yeah, a lot of love for that. Just to say, because I don't want to lose it in the thread, but just following on from your testimony, what Alice was saying on the lines of provision, amongst a plethora of others, first that comes to mind, she just moved in. Mover's lost the box of her electrical stuff, and so she didn't have a kettle, a toaster, a Hoover, any of that. The new landlady popped round to check if she got in right with settling in and offered her all of them. She came around just at the right time. So,
wow.
Amazing.
That is amazing. Isn't that good? That is so good. Great. Thanks, everyone. So I think we're going to go to a Bible reading. We've got... We've got a reading from Psalms and then a reading from Matthew. Okay, go for it.
Okay, who's going first? Me or you, Sarah?
You, Psalms, start in the old, I think.
Okay, no problem. So I'm reading from Psalm 65. It's an NIV version. And it's a fairly long passage, just 13 verses, so bear with me. Praise awaits you, our God, in Zion. To you, our vows will be fulfilled. Who will answer prayer? To you, all people will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your heart, in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds. God, our Saviour, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who form the mountains by your power, have armed yourself with strength, who still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water, provide the people with grain. For so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing.
And I've got a passage, a reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Also the New International Version, chapter 15, verses 29 to 39. And this is when Jesus feeds the 4,000. Not to be confused when Jesus feeds the 5,000, which is a little bit before that. So Matthew 15, 29 to 39. Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on the mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. His disciples answered, where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. 7, they replied, and a few small fish. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was 4,000 men, besides women and children. After Jesus had sent the crowd away, he got into the boat and went to the vicinity of Magadan.
Great. Some great passages there. So what I'm going to try and do, see if this works, is share my screen with my PowerPoint. Yeah. This might go awfully wrong. If it does, I won't do it. But let's see if you can see that.
David, can I just jump in beforehand? Sorry to jump in, but just to say to you guys sort of following the stream, it looks like we've got a little bit of an unwanted visitor again. This has happened before, so just ignore messages sort of coming through about giving people money. It's not a legitimate thing, so just wanted to allay fears on that.
Thanks, Sarah. Cheers, appreciate it. That's a shame. So hopefully you can see the screen. I'm going to do this and see if it works, but it might go awfully wrong. Does that work? Can you see it? Sean, can you not?
Yeah.
Yeah,
is that good? The screen. Yeah, we basically got the main slide and then also the slide without the writing on.
Oh, that's a bit strange. Okay, well, let me try. I know what I can do. If I'm quite clever, I can do that. How's that?
Oh, excellent.
Look at that. So can you see me as well?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's for you. Okay, so you can see me as well, so that's good. But so what I'm going to share some ideas with you about is this idea of the open hand of God, that God is a provider. And that's what we're thinking about today. And I'm just going to share some brief thoughts tonight on how God provides 3 things. He's open-handed in 3 different ways. So firstly, he's open-handed with his forgiveness, and we'll share some Bible verses about that. Secondly, he's open-handed with his physical provision stuff. An example might be the testimony that I shared today and the testimony that we've shared on the screen, on the stream. And thirdly, I want us to think more uncomfortably how God is in many ways open-handed with the way he invites us to share in suffering. And that's not always as comfortable, is it? So let's have a look at what the Bible says. So let's begin right at the back of, right at the front, at the back, goodness me, right at the front of the Old Testament in Genesis 3. And so in the beginning of the creation story, we have God making the world, making it perfect, and creating Adam and Eve and putting them in the garden. And God says to Adam and Eve, doesn't he? You can do whatever you want, but there's one thing that I wouldn't like you to do. And this is what it is. And many of us know that Adam and Eve decided to do that one thing that God asked them to do, which is a bit annoying, really, isn't it, if you think about it. But they did. They chose to do the one thing that God didn't ask them to do. And this led to God having to ask them, having to force them to leave the garden, because God is holy and perfect and just. And now Adam and Eve behaved in a way that couldn't stay in his presence. But what does God do before they leave the Garden of Eden? We read it here in Genesis 3:21. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. We might have read that verse quite a few times when we read Genesis 3. It's a well-known passage. But to me, there's 2 things about it that's amazing. Number one, this shows forgiveness. Number one, after all they had done, God still cares about them. You know, if I was God, I'd be like, right, guys, on your bike. But God still cares enough about them to clothe them, to look after them. You know, there's nothing we can do that will stop God loving us. There's nothing we can do, no mistakes that we can make, which means that God will not love us and care for us. And that's amazing, isn't it? And another thing is this word clothes. And without getting too technical, if we go back into the original language that the book of Genesis was written in, which is Hebrew, this word clothed is the same Hebrew word that we see later on when in the temple of Solomon, when we see the priests clothed with these amazing, beautiful garments and beautiful vestments. It's the same word. And the temple is all about being close to God. The temple was built in the Old Testament to get us to house God's presence, as it were, for want of a better phrase. It was built as a place of intimacy, a place of worship, a place of sacrifice, a place of reconciliation. And so here, this word clothing makes us think about that amazing sense of God's reconciliation and love and grace. What an amazing sense of God's forgiveness. And then further on in John 21, a lot further on in the history of God's people, John 21, and in this bit, this is the bit where Jesus has died, he's come back to life, and he's appeared to his disciples, and he's about to appear to his disciples, and how does he appear to them? He appears on a beach with a barbecue, having some food. Excuse me. Having a barbecue, having some food. What a way to make friends again. You know, as humans, don't we? We go out for coffee with people. Now, we don't really need coffee. We could just chat to people, but there's something about food and drink that makes it special. As we come out of lockdown, lots of us have been looking forward to it. Some of us might have already gone to places like Gratitude. I can see Alice in the comment stream probably have been there. That's my second office where we go and have our conversation. There's something about food and drink that makes that easier. And here we have Jesus having a barbecue with his mates because that's that bridge of forgiveness. And listen to what he says to Simon Peter. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? A few days ago, Simon Peter had to deny Jesus three times. He said to Jesus, I won't, and then he did. And here Jesus comes up to him and three times says, Simon Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Three times he asked him to cancel out, in many ways, those three denials that Peter had. An amazing sense of God's forgiveness. And Sean read to us Psalm 65, which said this, when we were overwhelmed by sin, you forgave us. So the first thing for us to think about tonight is that provision of God's forgiveness. God loves you. Whatever you've done, whatever mistakes you made, like Adam and Eve, he loves us and cares for us. He continues to say, do you love me? Do you love me? He forgives us our sin. That's good news, isn't it, tonight? Good news for us. That open-handed forgiveness, the provision of God's forgiveness. And secondly, we're looking at the provision of the physical provision that God gives us. And Sean read some of this for us as well. You care for the land. You enrich it. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain. Why? You've ordained it. God has made the season. God's made the world to be in this cycle. I know Sarah's part of the Eco Church team. Many of you on the, some of you on the stream might be as well. And part of the reason we want to be an Eco Church is because we know that the world, the climate, the ecology of the world is not as it should be. And that's because of human activity. We've screwed up quite well the climate system that has been relied on for centuries. And here we're reminded that God provides with those seasons. It's a harvest celebration in many ways, isn't it? And if we look back at when this psalm was written, something quite interesting is that it was written, we think, kind of for a Jewish harvest kind of festival. But it was written at a time when Jerusalem was undergoing attack. I think it was around the year 708 BC, I think. I'll check that because I've lost my notes with it on. I'm pretty sure it's 708 BC, but I'll check it out. But the people of God are under major attack in this year. And somehow, miraculously, God thwarts the attack of the enemy. It's talked about in Isaiah 38. Have a read. What an amazing sense of God's provision. So God provides us with stuff, doesn't he? Provide us with physical things. Isaiah 37, not 38, I was close. And in this passage in Isaiah, there's a physical assault and God's provision. He provides food for the land, but also he provides rescue for the people of God. Great history lesson, you might be thinking, David, but so what? Well, I think it's really encouraging for us to remember that God provides when we feel that we're under attack. Maybe tonight you're feeling under a bit of a spiritual attack. Now, there's sometimes we can over-spiritualize things, can't we? And we can say, I've got a cold, I must be under the attack of the enemy. But sometimes we can go the other way and we can say, oh, there's, you know, go totally the other way and not think about the spiritual side of things at all. But this psalm and this passage in Isaiah 37 reminds us that when we are under attack, God provides. So tonight, if you're feeling under a spiritual attack, we hold on to Psalm 65. Maybe tonight you're under a bit of a physical attack, maybe a health attack. Maybe you're feeling a bit like the enemy is encamped around you, whatever that might look like in your context. Have a read of Isaiah 37, the God who provides a way out, and Psalm 65, the God who provides the people with grain, with sustenance, with what they need. So God is open-handed with forgiveness, and he's open-handed with the stuff that he gives. But I do want to say about the last one very quickly, that there is a sense sometimes that we can have a name it and claim it theology, that I've forgotten the name of the prosperity gospel, that is a way of teaching that says basically, if you have enough faith to claim it, you'll get it. And if you don't get it, you haven't got enough faith. Now, I don't think that's true. And I think that's quite a dangerous way of thinking, that we can think sometimes, God hasn't given me something. God hasn't provided me with good health, or God hasn't given me that job that I wanted. I must be sinful. I must have made a mistake. I must not believe enough. That's not true. If you look at Lazarus, who was in the tomb, he was dead. God raised him from the dead. He didn't have any faith because he was dead. Dead people can't have faith. The fact is that just we live in a world that isn't perfect. And God doesn't always want us to have shiny, nice, brand new things. That could be a whole new sermon series. But God, in his grace, does provide us with what we need. Not always what we want, but with what we need. And let's move on to the last one, which says open-handed with suffering. So he provides forgiveness, he provides provision, stuff. And finally, he's open-handed in the way he shares his suffering with us. Let me read this to you. I should have prepared it in the Bible earlier, but it's in Romans 8. You might want to turn to it in your Bible. You might want to race me. See how quickly you can get there. I'm there. Romans 8, 17. And it says this. If we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we might share his glory. And you might be thinking, well, hang on a sec, Paul. I really like the idea of being God's child. I like the idea of being an heir of the kingdom. I like the idea of being a co-heir with Jesus. I like the idea of sharing in your glory. I'm not sure I like the idea of sharing in your suffering. But then, what is God's glory? The glory of Jesus is the cross, isn't it? Jesus could have come down from the cross at any point, but he chose to stay there. And quite awkwardly, quite uncomfortably, sometimes God invites us to share in suffering. Paul continues, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. You know, I'm very blessed that I don't really know what it is to suffer. Maybe as you're watching, you might. We know Christians around the world who are suffering for their faith. There are countries where it is so, so dangerous to be a Christian. It's the most persecuted faith on the globe at the moment, Christianity. Open Doors does lots of great work with that. And the encouragement here is that the glory that will be revealed in us later will surpass all of that. But I don't know about you, I don't really like the idea of sharing in his suffering. Philippians 3:10 says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Yes, amen, me too, I'd like that. And the fellowship of his suffering. Oh, not really sure I want that. Thank you very much. So God sometimes invites us to share in suffering as well. But he always promises to be with us. You know, Jesus doesn't promise a life free of earthly cares, does he? But he does promise to shoulder the burden with us and to be close to us. So there's three things we looked at. We looked at God being open-handed with forgiveness, open-handed with his physical provision, and open-handed with sharing and inviting us sometimes to share in suffering. So let's pray before we have a discussion about it. So Father God, we thank you for your great provision to us. You are Jehovah Jireh, you're the provider. And we see that throughout scripture. We see it and we think about the people in Exodus as they walk through the desert. You provided for their need. And Lord, for those of us tonight that might be in physical need, might be in need of health or in need of stuff, or spiritually we might be in need of a knowledge that we are forgiven, or maybe we're feeling that we're suffering at the moment and that God is sharing that with us. Help us to be a better disciple of you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, but before we open up the discussion, I wonder if there's anything in the comment stream that...
Yeah, lots of love for your slides, David.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Alice certainly has found them really helpful. And she also agrees with you about gratitude, by the way. just positive thoughts, really, rather than...
Great, okay.
The content, it's just about the slides more than anything.
Well, we've got kind of 10 minutes. I've maybe talked a bit longer than I should have done. So we've got 5 or 10 minutes to chat before we end with some prayer. But it might be worth going through each of those three things, maybe. So we looked at God being open-handed with forgiveness. Let's begin with that. Maybe how easy is it for us to feel like we're forgiven? You know what I mean?
The thing is, I was watching something about this today. I was watching a sermon and... you know, that point of so often we keep beating ourselves up about things from the past or what have you, and we keep saying sorry to God just in case he hasn't forgiven us.
Yeah.
But it's us that have to accept that God does forgive us. And by us keep revisiting things and beating ourselves up again and what have you, it's a nice version of slap in the face. I mean, basically, Jesus died on the cross to forgive our sins. And if we just keep rehashing and reliving all of this, so it's having a word with ourselves, really, and just reminding ourselves of the process that, you know, humanity's gone through, thanks to Christ. So, yeah, but it's difficult. We're very good as a human race at just beating ourselves up, aren't we?
And feeling guilty.
Yeah. So we it talks about placing everything at the foot of the cross and leaving it with Jesus, but we don't, because what we do is we place it there and then we pick it back up and carry it around with us. And that's what we do. We can't let go of it. It's really hard.
And I find myself, so most weeks at church, every week at church, really, we do something that the Anglicans like to call the prayer of confession, where basically we confess our stuff, which is very good. We confess our sins to God. But sometimes I'm in danger when I do that of kind of going through in my head, what have I done wrong? And I need to say sorry. But actually, I think it's easier than that and it's deeper than that. So actually what I start to do now is basically say, God, I'm a sinner. And actually obviously I'm a forgiven child of God as well. Hallelujah. And I'm seated in a heavenly place with him as well, you know. But I'm a sinner in need of mercy. Mm. That's how I now approach that prayer. Rather than thinking, oh, yesterday I swore at someone on the roundabout for driving badly. The other day, you know, I stole a chomp from Morrison's. I didn't really. That's just an example.
Are you sure?
But, you know, I don't go through thinking of things that I've done wrong that need forgiveness. I'd be there all day. You know me. I just say, you know what, Lord, look at me. Look at my state. I'm just, help. And that's been really helpful for me in terms of approaching forgiveness. Otherwise, there's the worry, what happens if I die and I haven't,
or said sorry and repented. Yeah, I mean, I sort of jotted down some notes, makes sound very formal, doesn't it? But just jotting away while you were talking, and, you know, what comes through is when you talk or you think of God providing for us, a lot of the times your mind does go to the stuff, doesn't it? The inanimate objects and what have you. But it's that acknowledgement that, well, provision is the provision of forgiving us our sins, and that's a provision. So it's having that wider sort of recognition of just what provision means.
Definitely. I was thinking about the sermon on Sunday. when Tim was talking about how Jesus provided for 4,000. In the verse, it actually says 4,000 men plus women and children.
Yeah.
So it's not actually 4,000 people. It's probably double that.
Yeah, it's the same with the 5,000. That was just there, wasn't it?
It was, and that really struck me. It was like, actually, no, it's not 4,000. It's probably 8 or 10,000 people. And that was just like mind-blowing that Jesus did that. And the fact that there was food left over as well. It's just like, you know, just great.
Yeah, but do you notice something? Because it struck me, thinking about it, that we generally tend to talk about the feeding of the 5,000, don't we? Yeah. The 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and at the end there were 12 baskets of food left.
Yeah.
Yet when he's feeding 4,000 plus the extra to say, there's 7 loaves, a few, and they only take up 7 basketfuls, not 12. So there's more food provided, and there's less left over. So second time around, they're a lot greedier than the first.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I'm not sure about that, but this is a good segue into our second one about God's physical provision. And I think, you know, I think it's an important thing for us to think about how we provide for people that don't have things. We were talking before we went on stream, weren't we, Sean, about food banks and the food banks in our local area and what we can do to support them, and, you know, how God feeds people through us.
Yeah.
As an example, and other people that aren't Christians that feel led to give to food banks, not just Christians, that could be nice people, of course. And so maybe you're watching on the stream and you haven't donated to food bank for a while. Please do feel free, little plug, to drop some food off at my house, number 11 Rushbury Road, piles of beans, soup, tins of hot dogs, meatballs, anything like that, instant soup.
Don't drop chocolate, whatever you do at David's house.
Quality control. But what do we think about God's physical provision in terms of this prosperity gospel? Maybe let's touch on that. I don't know if you've heard of that, but this idea that, you know, God wants you to have the best and the biggest and the fastest. And
Alice commented on that. Alice actually commented on it. She said, interesting that you mentioned the prosperity gospel, as I have a conversation with a friend about it today. There we go. There's another God incidence. She's in a church that teaches it. For me, it shrinks God's authority and falsely gives us the idea that we have power over our own lives and we can just demand what we want.
Definitely.
I think there's a balance for me, because I think God does love to bless. But then you look in the Bible and you see the man who wanted his daughter healed, and God says, do you have faith I can do it? And the man went, yeah, but help me forgive my unbelief. Doesn't he? Yeah. So, you know, how much faith do you need? The faith of a mustard seed. So I do think there's a balance. I do think God loves to bless, but I also think that life's not perfect, and sometimes we don't always get what we want, and we're not as loved or special.
Hi, Emmy, by the way. She's in on the line. She's basically talking about society very much praises independence and makes us struggle with receiving. Is it selfish or easy to ask for the needs of others? We're valuable to him, God, and he wants us to be connecting to him. And she's saying here to Ali's thoughts on the prosperity gospel as well.
Yeah.
I think that's an interesting point that Emmy makes about how easy it is for us to receive and to give. And how easy is it for us to receive help? Because it means a bit of humility, doesn't it? But actually, if we're not humble, we can't let other people get blessed by giving to us. So,
you know, I've had that said to me, because in the same way that I said I much prefer giving gifts than receiving them, I am terrible at allowing people to help me.
Yeah.
I'll have a limb dropping off before I let somebody carry something for me. Do you know what I mean? It's
But then they can't get blessed by helping, can they?
Yeah.
Said that to me. You're taking away my blessing of helping.
Yeah.
Then that makes you feel guilty. Oh no. I'm a sinner.
Thing is, it says in Acts that they when all were in need, they brought everything to the front of the church and they gave it to all that were in need. They sold land, you know, whatever it was they had, they brought it to the elders and they gave it out. And so it's a biblical thing to give and receive. So, you know, it's a, that that passage in Acts is a real great example of how we need to be.
That's a really good example, Sean, actually, of the church providing, of God providing through through the church. And I know that when we moved here, like, we had meals provided for, well, when we adopted number three, we had meals provided for by the church. And to begin with, that's a bit like, oh gosh, you know, that, but actually it was such a blessing. And we had some people saying, can we do ironing and things like that? And we're like, oh, are you sure? But it made such a difference because obviously Emily's additional needs, lots of time is spent looking after her that, it makes such a
difference. Sorry, I was just going to say, when I had my op last year on my thumb and I was struggling, and Emmy sent over some food via Fraser for me, bless her. Thanks, Emmy. So I'm still going on about it.
It makes such a difference, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, Tom's made a good... Hi, Tom, I've not seen your comment yet. I think that God wants the best for us. The best for us is rarely the biggest diamond or the fastest car. Good point.
That is good. I think I'd agree with that. Yeah.
Me too.
Good. So practically then, how long have we got? We've got 3 minutes before we're going to pray. Practically speaking, what change might we make this week or in our hearts or because of this evening and God's provision?
I think being open, you know, because a lot of the time we're busy with our own lives and our own agendas, but actually God is calling us to be open and notice what he's doing, because a lot of the time we don't notice it, and even if, when we do, we question it, oh, is that God or not? But actually we need to just be open and say, yes, this is God, and trust that that's what it is, you know?
Yeah.
I think, and also, because it sort of, I think what brought this to me as well was in the hymn, the song Waymaker, and in times when we feel really we really need things. I mean, you've already spoken about being denied stuff, and you think, oh, God's denying me this, and I need such and such, and you made the point, which I totally agree with. God will only deny us stuff we think we want, because that's what we want. It's not what he wants for us, and there's always better waiting. And at the times when you're going through these struggles and storms and what have you, if you don't get what you want, if you're not provided what you think you want, you often feel, he's abandoned me. God's abandoned me. And it's really, I don't know why, I was having a sermon illustration in my mind when I was driving my car the other day. Because I had a new car a few weeks ago, just downsized a little bit, and it's a lovely car, and it's got in a blind spot monitor. So you're driving along. You know, for those who don't drive, if your car's in your blind spot, it means it's really close. It's close to the point that you can't see it in your rear mirror or your wing mirrors. And obviously, it's dangerous if you were to pull out. So my car's got a blind spot monitor. So if there's a car in my blind spot, my wing mirror flashes with the symbol of two cars. No, it comes on, that's it. And if I was to put the indicator on, it would flash then to say, don't do it. And I just thought to myself, do you know what? The reason it's in my blind spot monitor is because it's the closest car to me, but I can't see it, but it could have a massive impact. And that's what it's like with God, with Jesus, in as much as sometimes you think, I'm all alone and I just, he's left me abandoned. But actually, that's when he's closest, you know. So every time my blind spot monitor comes on now, I might adapt it as a picture of Jesus or something. But for me, you know, with the ups and downs of life, if I'm sort of thinking, oh, he's not listening to me, he's not, you know, when's he going to do it? I think, well, it's not about what I want. It's about what he wants. So I've just got to trust and go with it. And he's not going to deny me something that I want to give me something worse. It would only be because what he's got for me is that much better.
Nice. That's a good way of maybe leaving. Who's praying for us tonight?
Sean.
Yes.
Sean, are you ready to pray for us, brother?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to use a prayer from... St. Francis of Assisi, who is a perfect example of somebody that had a lot and gave it all up, basically, to follow Jesus. He was a very wealthy man, and he gave it all up because he felt that that was the right thing to do. So I'm just going to read, I guess it's like a bit of a very short poem from St. Francis. And he says, Lord, show me poverty, whom you love so dearly. I am full of yearning for my lady poverty. I can find no peace without her. Jesus, you were very poor, and I want to call nothing under heaven mine, but only to live on what others may give me. Father, we just thank you that what an example we have of St. Francis, Lord, a very wealthy merchant, son of a wealthy merchant, Lord. And we just, it's amazing that he was able to give all that up for you, Lord. And Lord, we pray that that obviously that we, you know, we're not able to do that. But the point is, Lord, that it's about being open to you, what you want us to do with our possessions and our goods. And as we heard earlier about Acts, where they gave as was needed, they sold land, they bought to the church and gave it out to all the people that were needed, Lord. And I just pray that this would be our heart, how we interact with one another, how we, not just with Christians, but with everyone we meet, Lord, that we would have a giving heart to pray and support and encourage, and to remember that all that we have is from you, Lord. That's the key thing, Lord, that you provide. You provide, as we heard on Sunday, Jesus provided for 4,000 plus people, Lord, not once, but twice. And you provide, Lord, and we just thank you for that. Thank you that you are our provider. You provide all that we need. And may we walk in that this coming week, Lord, being mindful of what you do, what you want us to do, and those around us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So thanks so much for joining us. We'll be here. Is there anything in the stream to finish with, Sarah, before we disappear?
Well, bless her. Emmy said that she felt blessed by me accepting her cooking. Trust me, your cooking was a blessing. Alice enjoying the analogy of the blind spot, but no more comments about the content, so to speak, other than, you know, just acknowledging each other's comments.
Happy day, that's that. Just a reminder, guys, if you want to come to church on Sunday morning, we're getting very full, so you do need to book. So please ring us tomorrow between 9 and 12 to book your seat, or email bookyourseat@allsaints-welling.org. We'll be back next week. I won't be here, but Tim will be. I don't know who's on. I'm guessing it's Emmy and Lynn next week.
We want you to have a good birthday on Friday now, David.
Thank you very much, Sarah. Thank you.
And Charlotte.
Yeah, lots of birthdays around. So that's good. Hopefully it'll be nice sunny weather. I'm going to Gratitude in the morning for birthday brunch, I think.
It's supposed to be 30 degrees at the end of the week.
Pardon?
Supposed to get up to 30 degrees by the end of the week.
Oh, I love it, but the kids will get annoyed. But I'd keep wearing my shorts with my dog collar. That's always good. Right. I think we're going to somehow go off this. So thanks so much for tuning in. If you're online and listening and catching up and you've got something you want to say or a prayer request, do drop us a message or email us at david@allsaints-wellington.org. Follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Find me on TikTok.
As well, don't forget to catch up with us again on the podcast.
And the podcast, you can catch up, you can listen again, you can catch up with the sermons. Find us on YouTube. Oh my goodness, look at all that.
We're everywhere.
We're everywhere. We're everywhere for the kingdom. Okay, catch you guys later. Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone. Bye.